Once there was a man who had two sons. The younger boy asked his dad for his share of the family wealth and then squandered it on decadent living. Then, penniless and hungry, the son returned to his father in the hopes that his dad would take him in as a hired hand. But instead, the father welcomed his son with open arms and celebrated his homecoming with a great feast. Now, the elder son was understandably angry at his brother who had dishonored the family. But the father showed compassion for the hard-hearted son and tenderly explained, "This brother of yours was dead and has begun to live, and was lost and has been found." A remarkable true story from the Bible, the world's most important book. I'm Bill Armstrong of Colorado Christian University, where we love Jesus, trust the Bible, and champion faith, family, and freedom. Check us out at www.ccu.edu. And by the way, stay tuned for You Get the Blessing with my friends Bo Mitchell and Bob Belts.
You Get the Blessing. I'm Bo Mitchell. Co-host today is the Reverend Father Chuck King.
Hey, good to be here, Bo.
Down in the boondocks. Is this Gene Pitney? No. Gee, Billy Joel. How did I miss that?
Would you like me to sing along?
Yeah.
Let's all sing.
This show has the greatest music in history.
Yeah, it's pretty much downhill after that.
Really? Let's just listen a while. Wake up, everybody. You've tuned into the right channel. And I guess we chose Down in the Boondocks today, Chuck, because our guest works, or should say runs, the Denver Rescue Mission. Could that be the connection?
Down in the boondocks.
He spends a lot of time in the boondocks.
Griff Freischlag, easy to say, because I've known him since 1981 or 82.
That's a long time. That's it.
So you were younger then. What's happened to you?
No, not much younger. I'm just getting really old.
Actually, Griff is, you can't see this on the radio. He's always been one of the handsome, sharp guys around. I, on the other hand, am old, near fourth quarter, let's say. Chuck King, my co-host, young stallion today, wearing a bow tie, a beautiful suit, a beautiful shirt.
Yeah, I thought this was going to be a TV show.
Oh, seriously, Chuck, you look good, especially for radio. But Chuck King is the Dean Emeritus of the School of Business at Colorado Christian University. He is a professor of business, economics, and leadership classes there, and one of the brightest guys I know. He's also one of our speaker team members at Narrowgate, the men's Bible study we do every Wednesday. Chuck, I appreciate you as a friend, a biblical scholar, a professor, and a subpar golfer.
But I'm getting better. You haven't played golf with me lately.
I'd like to.
Ever since you screamed at me in the middle of my backswing and told me to man up, I've been swinging harder.
That's coaching, Griff. I brought up golf because Griff, on the other hand, is one of the best golfers. What's your index these days?
I think it's pretty close to five.
Ooh. He's always been low single digit, and that's why I can't believe he does such an effective job running the Denver Rescue Mission.
I was going to say, he must not spend much time working.
Seriously, he pretends to be out with clients or what?
Well, wait a second. The last time I played golf, it was you were teeing off on your knees at the ridge and hit it further than anybody.
It almost hit my house.
Yeah, that's right.
I was shooting for your house, by the way. Almost hit my target. I do have a good knee shot, don't I?
Yes, you do.
Hey, I won closest to pin that day on a 186-yard shot from my knees over a canyon.
That's right. I remember. What did you get, a box of matches for that?
Seriously, Clibby gave me nothing sitting over here. Shut me out. Well, anyway, You Get the Blessing exists as a program because we want to bless you listeners by introducing you to special guests every week. And Griff Freischlag is one of the great guys in Denver doing great things at this point through the Denver Rescue Mission. But his life has always stood for the good things that Christ wants us to stand for. And Griff and his entire family are just a blessing to be around. So let's start by you telling us, Griff, a little bit about your background. far back as you want to go. You were born a small, young black child, weren't you?
Yes, I was. A brother from a different mother.
Who said that, by the way? Is that Steve Martin in The Jerk? Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Excuse me for drift. You know, you bring the worst out of me, Griff.
What? All I need is this. This is all I need.
This is all I need. This thermos and this chair. That's all I need. So,
we digress.
Yeah, where were you born? And how was it around your place growing up?
I was born in Colorado Springs. And never drifted far from home. Went to CSU, Mighty Rams. I know we have a thing.
I like the
don't
Rams.
Don't talk about CU. We're talking about CSU.
I like the Rams.
Okay, good.
So is that the team that always beats Colorado in football?
I think so, Chuck. Yeah, I think you've got that right. Absolutely.
Uh-huh. Well put, fellas. Let's wrap it up with a word of prayer.
And now move on.
Okay, CSU.
No, I went to CSU and saw my dad, who was in the banking business. I thought that looked like a pretty good life, so I jumped into that when I got out of school. And it turned out to be about a 24-year run. And then I had breakfast with Brad Miley, who's our president and CEO at the Denver Rescue Mission. And
I
run it. Well, yeah. I thought I better clarify.
I know
well,
Brad.
Thanks, Brad.
I know Brad, and I know that you run it because Brad.
Thanks, Chuck.
Yeah, there you go.
I appreciate that.
I know Brad. I know he runs it, and I apologize, Brad.
So we were getting ready to plan a surprise birthday party for one of our friends. We're going to put some farm animals in his backyard for his, I think, his 40th birthday party.
Now, wait a minute. That's a really good idea.
It's a great idea.
You get the blessing today, folks, has taught you.
That's your tip of the day.
You want to prank your friends, farm animals. How big do we go here?
Well, we had two goats, and we had 40 chickens that we put in his kids' playhouse.
Oh, that is smart.
That didn't go over, actually, very well. I could go on about
ruined
that.
The playhouse.
That didn't. Yeah, it wasn't good.
Well, sometimes you miss the mark.
So at the end of that conversation, he said, why don't you come to work at the Denver Rescue Mission? And at the time, I have three kids. They're all grown and married, one grandbaby. But at the time, two kids were in college, and I thought, how in the world am I going to do that? And I said, well, I'll think about it, and I'll talk to my wife, talk to the guys in my Bible study group. And 2 weeks later, I quit and went to work at the Denver Rescue Mission, which was about 12 and a half years ago, and never looked back.
And done well with it.
Well, I mean, of course, it has been a blessing to me. People always say, oh, that's so good for you. Good for you for doing that. I go, you have no idea how good for me it has been. I mean, it has been a tremendous blessing to be at the mission.
So what I want to know is, what's the connection between banking and the Denver Rescue Mission? Because Brad Miley came the same path.
That's exactly right. And Dave Shunk, who's our CFO, was in the banking business as well. I think banking just absolutely just tears it out of you. I don't know what it is, but it prepares you
for a life of joy at the Denver Rescue Mission. I'm glad you brought that up, Chuck. Yep.
You know, Bo, you talked about prepares you. As I've gotten older, I'm a big believer that all the experiences that we have in life prepare us unknowingly for what we're going to do. And we had a guest that I was listening to last Sunday or a couple Sundays ago, Tim Brown, who talked about this idea of there's no failure and it's only opportunities. What do you learn from failures? What do you take away? And God uses those. God uses all those experiences to prepare us for what He wants us to do. And I'm convinced that in my time at the bank, I used to go down the 16th Street Mall and I developed three pretty good relationships with people on the street. And I knew their name. I helped them out with food or finances, whatever I could. And I'm convinced that that time on the 16th Street Mall prepared my heart to go to work at the Denver Rescue Mission.
You know, the Living Bible, which Belt says.
The Linebacker Edition?
Yeah, it's not really a Bible. Says, keep on sowing your seeds. You don't know which ones will grow. Maybe they all will in the book of Ecclesiastes. Right. But in your case, you're saying just those little seeds that you were planting and those lives ended up being seeds planted.
That's exactly right. That's exactly
you know,
right.
There's a great deal of wisdom in what you just said. I'd like you to expand upon that. As Bo said, in the second half of my life, I've been teaching at a university and I teach business students. And I continually try to impress them with the fact that there's no such thing as a throwaway experience. I don't care whether you're waiting tables in a restaurant, mowing grass, every one of those experiences makes a part of who you are and makes a part of your resume. Tell us how that's worked in your life at the rescue mission.
Well, as far as I'm concerned and how that's affected my life, if I could just turn that around a little bit and talk about what goes on at the Denver Rescue Mission, because the mission is all about second chances. I mean, we take men and women and families that have been down, you know, down on their luck. A lot of them have made some poor choices, and the way that we try and approach these men and women and families is to tell them that they have a lot of hope in their future by turning their life over to Christ. Without that, there's a number of programs out there that can get people clean and sober. There's a number of programs that can get people a job. There's a number of programs that can get them back on track, as you know, as far as our society says. But we at the Denver Rescue Mission feel like what really works, what makes this whole rehabilitation, our strive to become self-sufficient citizens, it's all about Jesus. And without that, nothing else really works. Nothing else really matters.
You know,
well put.
When anytime you go through a difficult time, it's tough. But when you feel responsible for it because it's clear that you made bad choices that put you there, it's harder to overcome it. And that forgiveness aspect of Jesus being a part of our life is the only way to overcome that, isn't it?
Chuck, no question. Absolutely. There's some of these men that come into our New Life program, they have been on the street, some of them 25, 35 years, and there is so much shame and regret that's entered their life that it is an extremely difficult thing to deal with. They can't buy into the fact that God can love them, because they've done so many things so poorly. I had the chance to do a devotional with some of the guys that are new to our program, and one of the topics that I love to talk about, which might be applicable to a lot of our listeners, is really kind of C.S. Lewis based, and that is we all have to make a decision who Christ is. It's up to us, because He told us who he said he was. He said he was the Son of God, and we have to make up our mind if we believe that or not. And as C.S. Lewis said, you've got three choices. He's either a lord, or he's a liar, or he's a lunatic. He's not a good person. He's not a prophet. He's not just a good guy walking through the desert getting 12 guys to follow him. You got those three choices. And when you put it that way, it make some of these guys really think, who do I think Jesus is? Who do I believe that he says he is? And it's interesting.
So you guys do all kinds of great stuff, some of which we're going to talk about today. But what you just said is you're in the business of changing lives and in the right way without a sledgehammer, but converting guys to Christ, because then they don't revert back to what they'd been on the streets before. And it's interesting that when Christ gets in the mix, the promise is he's doing the work. All we got to do is jump in there and play our little part. But in 2 Corinthians 5th chapter, 17th verse says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So you're really all about the ministry of reconciliation. You're not going to send the guy back away from the Denver Rescue Mission like he was before. He's going to be new. That's and he's going to be reconciled to Christ and ready to actually re-enter the world completely different, new creation.
That's right. Got a new set of armor on when he gets back out there.
And we need it, don't we?
Oh, gosh. Amen. Absolutely.
You all are doing the work that a lot of us ought to be doing. One of my questions for you is, how can we help in the work that you're doing?
Well, thanks, Chuck.
Money.
Money. I know Bo is always so great about don't beat around the bush. It's about donations.
More money you have, the more ministry you could do, correct?
That's exactly right.
Okay, so let's start there. What can we do?
Well, we've got the fall season comes up, and everybody knows the Denver Rescue Mission, the fall is a busy time, and it is for a lot of the ministries and nonprofits in Denver, but we've got our turkey drive coming up. We're trying to acquire 15,000 turkeys.
You mean 1,500?
No, 15,000 turkeys.
15,000 turkeys. Are there 15,000 turkeys near enough by that
absolutely.
We can get them into the...
Absolutely. And you know what? The community of Denver has been great every single year. We exceed that goal every single year. And this year we're working with Mike Ward, auto dealership, and he's going to be one of our drop-off points, which is going to be...
Good friend of ours. We love Mike Ward.
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic. And we'll have drop-off points, of course, downtown at our shelter, our Jesus Saves building, and our other facilities. But we will serve, I mean, this year, we'll serve 600,000 meals. We'll serve, and we'll have 281,000 nights of shelter. So
600,000 meals.
600,000.
If we buy a frozen turkey, we can take it over to Mike Ward or down to you?
Yes.
You got a place to store it?
Absolutely. We'll have a refrigerator truck over at Mike's place.
Mike's place is at 470 and
Lucent.
Yes, that's right. Lucent, right.
And where's your location?
Our location is at down at 23rd and Lawrence, or Park Avenue in Lawrence. Is a great place to stop by.
Down in the boondocks.
Down in the boondocks.
Well done.
Absolutely.
So you're telling me listeners right now can get the blessing by just stopping and buying a couple of turkeys and dropping them off and blessing you guys and the families you're feeding.
Absolutely. Now, that I don't know that we have the schedule set up just yet exactly when that will happen, but it's typically around the first, second, and third week in November. So check our website, DenverRescueMission.org, and you'll be able to see when those drop-off points will be ready to go.
But commit right now in your heart that you're going to be one of the people that provides one of those 15,000 turkeys. We need a lot of folks stepping up.
I have lots of friends that are turkeys. That doesn't count.
Does it?
No, they're not frozen. Okay. You can't do that.
15,000 turkeys y'all are going to kill. You really don't like those cans, do you? I mean, turkeys. This guy doesn't like cans. Are we back? You got the scene in your mind?
I do, yeah.
What was that guy's name in The Jerk? Nathan Johnson. That's it.
I love that you remember
this
that.
This guy doesn't like cans.
You guys need to get a life.
I know. I'm saying this guy doesn't like turkeys. He's 15,000 turkeys he's personally going to kill
to feed
people. I'm just kidding. Yep. That's part of the cycle.
So, Bo, who are the listeners listening to out there?
Griff Freischlag. He is our guest today on You Get the Blessing. He does not run Denver Rescue Mission. Brad Miley does. In fact, Griff, tell us exactly what your title is there, because
sure.
I got a feeling I know it.
Sure. It's Vice President of Development, so I'm the fundraising guy.
Which is good.
Yeah, it's great. I love it.
There are not many of us.
No. But, and you know what? Denver has been, everybody is so, so generous. I know that when you look at statistics, Colorado ranks as one of the lowest of the states when it comes to philanthropy.
Mm.
However, as far as the Denver Rescue Mission goes and a number of other nonprofits, I know that there are a lot of loyal donors, and a lot of people think very highly of what we do. So I thank you for that.
You know why you're good at it, in my opinion? Number of reasons, but it's not about the money. It's about just loving people and saying, hey, if you can help, great. If you can't help, it's all right. I still love you. I'm with you. Let's go play golf. Let's be friends. But if you can help, today works for me. If it works for you.
Absolutely.
You're good at all
absolutely.
That. You got range.
So I got a question for you, Griff. In terms of helping with money, helping with turkeys, volunteer opportunities at the rescue mission, I presume?
Absolutely. If you go to our website, we have a calendar of volunteer opportunities. A lot of people like to get a group of 8 to 9 people and come down and serve a meal. We've got two locations. We serve meals at the crossing, which is is our largest facility on Smith Road, basically Smith Road and Monaco. And they can serve, we've got 3 meals a day, 365 days a year there, and 3 meals down at the shelter. And it's a great way to really sort of introduce the people and the kind of the boondocks that we serve. And it really is a blessing. You will be blessed to come downtown and see the families with small children that come into the shelter for a meal every single day.
Mm.
Yeah, it's an eye-opener.
And if you weren't there, it wouldn't be a pretty sight for them, would it?
No, absolutely.
So parents, if you want to have a life-changing experience for your kids, get your family to volunteer down at the Denver Rescue Mission and allow them to see.
That's right. Just as a clarification, we do have some age limits on kids that come down. that to serve. We don't have a lot of opportunity for smaller, you know, smaller children to come down and do that. I think the age is, I think it's 12 years old and up. But anyway, yeah, we'd love to have you. Love to have you come down.
So another question for you is, and we've had this discussion recently, as you're driving down the street, it seems like on every corner in Denver, there's a person out there asking for a handout. And I'm never sure what's the right way to handle that situation. What's your recommendation?
No, it's great.
Swerve at him.
It's a great... Bo, stop it.
And wave.
That's a great...
What'd you think I meant?
Yeah. Chuck, that's a great question. And I get that question a lot. And the mission's response to that is probably not to give them money. Most of the men that come into our program that have been on the street will tell you that 95-96% of those people, even they themselves, would buy drugs and alcohol with that. Now, having said that, sometimes the spirit leads you to give people money on the corner, and I've done it, and I continue to do it, and I would never discourage anybody. If God's telling you to give somebody some money on a street corner, give it to them. But we feel the money is better used at the Denver Rescue Mission, where we can begin to really make some changes. We're not just about trying to get somebody a...
Is there something I can do for that person who's there in front of me at that moment?
I would refer them to the Denver Rescue Mission.
Can you get can we get cards from the Denver Rescue Mission or
Absolutely.
Someplace to way to refer them?
Absolutely. And we have these little things called POGs, which is looks like a kind of a cardboard coin that says, you know, for a free meal. Of course, meals are all free at the Denver Rescue
right.
Mission, but we're trying to steer them down there. We want them to come down and see what hope looks like. That's what we try to do.
Yep. You had a great team, too, you're part of. Rattle off some more names of guys you work with, because Paul Anderson is one of our favorites. What an amazing human being.
Yeah. So Paul runs our grants department down there. He's out reaching out to foundations to help the Denver Rescue Mission. And let's see, some of the other folks we have.
That's it. Paul, Brad, that's all you know, I guess, huh?
That's it. Do you want me to? I'm happy to wheel off some other.
Go ahead, say I do a few.
Yeah, well, we've got Dave Shunk, who's our CFO. We've got Hugh Burns, who runs our operations, and Steve Walkup, who heads up our program side of things. And we've got a number of folks behind the scene that are always. We've got about 20-25 people on our development staff that are doing PR work with Alexa and Annetta and Chris Gallimore, who runs our publications department, and Joe Hayes with our major gifts area. I could go on, but they're great people.
So the point is, listeners, they stretch the dollar for the benefit of these folks that are impacted powerfully in all kinds of ways by that dollar. So let's get back specifically to the Thanksgiving serving of 600,000 meals. So they get the stuff to you guys, and then you organize it because you got the staff and the staging areas to make it all happen. It's not light entertainment, though. It's a very complicated project.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We take those 15,000 turkeys and we distribute those actually to a lot of other ministries and nonprofits that are reaching out to their own constituents. So all of those turkeys don't go to the Denver Rescue Mission. We use the majority of them in feeding the people that come to us, but we also believe in a lot of collaboration with a lot of people in Denver that need help as well. And so we're happy to do that.
So give the information again, how people can jump in and participate.
You bet. So I would say the first thing would be is go ahead and take a look at the website, and in the next few weeks, take a look and see when we're going to be having our turkey drive, and visit Mike Ward and drop off turkeys here out here in Highlands Ranch area. And then also, please feel free to come downtown. We'll have trucks down there just about, you know, all day long. And you can go to 23rd and Lawrence at the Jesus Saves building. You can come out to the crossing at 6090 Smith Road, which is a great facility. If you have time, stop by and ask somebody to give you a tour, because it's a pretty, pretty cool facility. We've got up to 100 families that are living with us out there in transition. We've got another 105 families that are on a waiting list to come see us, to live with us.
We need them in. They need the space. We need a little help from you folks.
Yeah,
Checkbook
exactly.
Christianity. It's the least expensive way to get involved. Write a check. Send some money. What we really would like is you to come down personally as a volunteer, but we'll take both.
Absolutely. You bet we will.
And looking at your website online, you can go online and donate right there.
Absolutely.
Using your debit card, your credit card, however you want to donate, right?
That's exactly right. Yep.
So the Denver Rescue Mission, Griff Freischlager, our guest today. Chuck closes out by telling us the story about Christ talking to the boys about, hey, you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me. Give us the highlights of that discussion.
Well, obviously he says if you've served anyone, you've served me, because that's what he was about serving people. We, the world loves the term servant leadership, and yet they don't know what it means. What it really means is to give yourself to help someone else. And that's what Christ expects of us. He told us to go out and make disciples, but you guys have got it figured out. You can't go out and make disciples to a person who's hungry and can't figure out where his next meal is coming from until you get that person's attention.
That's right. You got to take care of their needs first.
Well, we love Absolutely. What you're doing, and we love
Thanks,
you.
Bo.
Hey, should we talk
Thanks.
About Jim Nock for a second?
One of my favorite people.
And what is he to you?
Jim Nock is my father-in-law. He finally retired at the age of 81 from dentistry, and now he's driving Kay crazy. But he's turned into an avid golfer, and he's one of the, talk about servant leadership. He mimics that in a big way.
Is he 80?
82.
82, Jim Nock was my dentist for, 45 years.
Yeah.
And boy, as he got, Jim, we're going to pay a little tribute to you right now as one of the great guys and Christian men we've ever met by saying a few of your one-liners. So you're in the chair, you got both his hands in your mouth and a drill, and you got equipment all over your chest, and he says something like, because you have decay, he says, does your wife know what a sweet guy you are? How many times did you hear that one?
Oh, my gosh. He is a piece of work. He's unbelievable.
And what after about 2 hours in the chair, he'll say, all right, tough guy.
That's right.
That's all we can stand to you today. We miss you, Jim, as a dentist, but we love you as Griff's father-in-law and one of
Absolutely.
The great guys. And Kay.
Cool.
Boy, poor Kay.
I know.
Griff, do say hi to all the guys down at the Denver, guys
Thank
and gals
you,
at the Denver Rescue Mission. They're
Thank
a great
you,
group.
Great. Thank you guys for having me on. Great.
Well, you're a great leader and a great guy. Nice. We love you and we love what you're doing. Chuck, thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Another good program. We'll see you next week on You Get the Blessing.
Thanks. See you whenever I